Let's see. Well, first, let's see. Thank you, Mr. Bush. First, I'd like to thank all those people who voted for Bush, not only just once, but twice. I want to thank the Supreme Court for making sure that every vote was counted and that no one was ever disenfranchised. Everyone was able to vote, did actually vote in both in the 2000 election as well as the 2004. I also want to thank the governor of Florida and the secretary as well of Florida for ensuring that all the votes were actually counted. And then Bush became president in 2000. You know, and the same thing for Ohio in 2004. I want to also thank the governor and the secretary for handling that situation. I'm, you know, quite happy with all my stock holdings going up and my economic prosperity since 2000. You know, it's my stock in Halliburton and the energy and oil companies and health insurance companies and weapons industries and pharmaceutical industry companies and others. I mean, I've greatly benefited from your presidency, Mr. Bush. And I also want to thank you for my big, big tax break and allowing me to bring in that cheap, you know, labor force from Mexico and leaving the borders open so it's very easy to get new labor, as well as the opportunity of opening my factories in China and India. I also want to thank you for global warming. It has been sometimes a little bit cooler than normal, but since you've been president, it's actually benefited. And also fixing the environment and ensuring that our children will have a better and cleaner earth. I know how deeply you care about, you know, our earth, and especially, you know, one who's a man of the earth working in on his ranch. And I also want to thank you for sending my senator here in Nevada a brand new rubber stamp. You know, but though he hasn't been able to use it quite much this year since the last election in 2006. But I also want to thank you for creating a lasting peace in the Middle East. And I know you've been trying. And also making us a beacon of hope and a beacon of democracy. I want to thank you for creating a democracy in Iraq. And thank you for making America, again, the standard of great leadership. Thank you for capturing bin Laden and going after the terrorists that have now all left Afghanistan and all Muslim countries just to fight us in Iraq. Now, we can easily win this war on terrorism now thanks to your great strategic efforts. And thanks for helping bring peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. And thanks for your leadership in quickly resolving the horrific situation in Darfur. And then also I want to thank you for reestablishing back on track the construction of the depository of the nuclear waste site in Yucca Mountain, Nevada. Thanks for helping and preparing all the residents and victims for Hurricane Katrina. I know they're deeply thankful for you. And I think I want to thank you for your eavesdropping, wink, wink, you know, that special information. And thanks for not disclosing a covert CIA operative who happened to be involved with the WMD in the Middle East, in particular with Iran. And thank you for making me feel ever safe more than ever. I'm glad the Iranians are now listening to you and stopping making or trying to make nuclear weapons. And thank you for helping create a law of leaving no child left behind and making sure there's adequate funding for that program. And also I want to thank you for the new quote-unquote health care law. You know, my stocks surely went up and after that. And I want to thank you for putting the special new justices in the Supreme Court who now try to overturn Roe versus Wade. You know, now my hanger factories are now ready to go once that comes in effect. And I want to thank you for all the policies that will ensure that the populace continues to be the drones that you're making them into. I mean, we're all going to make a lot of money because of it. And thank you for implementing policies to help our populace to remain ignorant, subdued, feeling helpless, and, of course, illiterate or functional illiterate. because we, the top 1%, are truly thankful for that. And I couldn't go on and on for my thankfulness, but then you already know that, you know, your check is in the mail, wink, wink. Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, shoot, I'm on air. Folks, I was just putting together my letter to Mr. Bush. You know, it is Thanksgiving, and I want to thank everybody for listening in. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And by the way, this is Andrew Fetter and When Pigs Fly, because I'm telling you straight how it is. At least I try to. A lot of things are been happening, very interesting. I want to get into the subject of the day, which I had promised in my past shows many, many, many times, and got to keep my promise. And that will be, I'll be talking about dreams and out-of-body experiences. But before I do, I got a couple of announcements to make, and then a couple of things I want to rant into before, which, you know, came up to being, particularly with politics. But first, a kind of special announcements. One is, first I want to just say that coming up, I don't know if everybody is aware on my past shows, but I've talked to you about my new book that's come out, now being released. It's called The Heretic. It is the sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. And you can always check that out on my website directly to andrewtheheretic.com. I'm having my first signing event, actually, here in Las Vegas on this upcoming, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday on December 1st at the Psychic Eye Bookstore. It's 6848 West Charleston, and that's on the crossroads of Rainbow and Charleston, and that'll be from 1 to 6 p.m. I will be giving away on the first five purchases of my book at that signing event, When the Angels Have Risen. I will give them five books of that, which is the prequel of The Heretic, on the first five purchases of The Heretic. Again, that's December 1st, and that's at the Charleston Rainbow Psychic Eye Bookstore, and I hope to see y'all there. And I will be also having another event on the other side of town in Las Vegas, if you happen to be in Las Vegas during that time. In December 15th, this will be in Henderson at the Galleria Mall at the B. Dalton Bookstore. And that will be held at, from again, 1 to 6 p.m. I'll be signing, and in the same terms that I'll do, I'm going to give away five free books of When the Angels Have Risen upon the first five purchases of The Heretic. And that's, if people aren't familiar where the Gallery Mall is in Henderson, that's at 1300 Sunset Road. I believe that's Cross Street is near Stephanie. And those are my announcements for today. But I really hope this is, I'm really excited about this. I'm having actually a really good response from this book. It's very, deals with, gets into a lot of historical events, but there's a lot of other things, and I get into a lot of characters, and I just hope you all enjoy it. Another thing I want to mention to you also, if any of you have missed any of my shows, please do check out my past shows. I've had several special guests. For example, on the October 26th show, I had Sun, Lily, and she is a healer. And in fact, she does great healing. So if any of you happen to be coming down to Vegas or have questions, or even when you happen to be in Vegas, she can do healings from the phone. Check out her site, and has all the contact information at epichealing.com. That's epic, E-P-I-C, healing.com. And if you are not sure how to reach her or something, you can always email me, which is shown on my site, posting on, BBS Radio. Or if you want, it's flyingpigs@artlover.com. And you can always contact me through MySpace, which is, MySpace, facebook.com/AndrewFetter. And then you guys can always connect with me there, and if you want, I can be your friend too. So, you know, things have been changing really quickly lately. It's funny how things circle back and forth. And, you know, especially in politics, what goes around comes around eventually. And I remember a long time ago, I did a thing about the Libby trial. Actually, it was my first impromptu, show. Actually, I stepped into helping out somebody on their show prior to starting my show here. And it was dealing with the Libby trial, which if you people aren't familiar with, the Scooter Libby, that was dealing with the Valerie Plame, who she was a CIA operative, who's married to Ambassador Joe Wilson. And if you don't know the story, Joe Wilson was sent by the CIA as a request by President Cheney to investigate. And by the way, I'm talking prior to us initiating the Iraq War, or prior, let me see, we, Bush initiating the Iraq War, to investigate, see if Saddam Hussein was indeed trying to purchase what they call yellow cake, which is, it would be the basis for making some nuclear weapons, in particular, and the basis of developing into plutonium from that material, from uranium into plutonium. And obviously he found out it was not true, and then of course, instead of taking his information that wasn't true, what he found out, they, of course, you've heard all the famous UN speech that Saddam Hussein was trying. So Joe Wilson wrote an article against that, in an op-ed, lecturing about what his findings were. And actually stepping in the forefront, being a critic of what Bush had did, and basically calling him a liar. And so instead of Bush attacking him forefrontly, which, you know, whatever, you know, I'm not going to say anything politically, you know, because that's just the way you can, you know, if one says hell no and the person says yes, everybody, this is America, you can say what you want. But then what they did do, which I believe today, and it's still now really showing, you know, the old saying, you shake the water and it stands still and you can see the truth. Well, now, what he did was basically treason. I mean, his administration created treason by allowing, outing a CIA operative. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And here, nobody says anything about it. I'm surprised that the Congress has not stepped in more further. Just think about it. It'd be like, you know, do they care about our soldiers? She was our soldier. She was working for us. And to do that, to compromise, it'd be like politically sending in troops, which they had did in Iraq. Of course, they had no, thinking of the consequence of that. But think of the lives that affected that. And now the same situation now arises what they have done. And, of course, Libby was prosecuted and found to be an obstruction of justice because he was withholding the information and lying to the prosecutors, particularly with Fitzgerald, and lied in the grand jury trials and during the investigations in his involvement, and how he heard the information, how it was disclosed to the press about Valerie Plame and that effectively outing her as being a covert agent. And then compromising her ability to function as a CIA operative. So that, so to speak, now we find out Scott McKellen, who was the press secretary, who had now wrote in his book how basically not only Cheney was involved and knew was directly involved, but now we find out George Bush. And remember, you know, this is Thanksgiving. And everybody keeps their, you know, you think both of stuff. But it's amazing how George Bush had said he kept his promise. He was going to take care of it. He was going to take care of the situation. And he sure did. He commuted Libby's sentence. And, of course, how could he prosecute himself when he is the head cheese in this whole outing incident? It's amazing. You know, and I'm surprised that any American, I don't care, you know, if you're Republican, Democrat, communist, liberal, Catholic, Christian, Jew, Muslim, atheist, I don't care. I mean, there is one thing, you know, we can argue about politics and, you know, about social politics and about different issues and, you know, liberal policy, you know, taxes and, you know, things like that. But there's one line you do not cross, and that's effectively compromising whether it's our soldiers, their lives, or even more so, affecting those people who work incognito for who are very patriotic. And I think, and I have met, by the way, Joe Wilson. I have not had the opportunity, you know, to meet Valerie Plame, but she worked as a covert agent in a very foundational with the situation in the Middle East, which could all, you know, dealing with WMD and particular nuclear proliferation in the Middle East. In particular, she was involved with the Iranian the Iranian situation to try to get involved and develop their own nuclear weapons. So, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. So if any of you can please just whatever you can, tell your friends, whatever, family, and try to contact and put pressure on your senators, your congressmen, put out whatever to put some pressure on this situation, because, I'm sorry, this is overkill. This is, you know, if the Iranians ever had a nuclear weapon and had developed it, it would not necessarily, they would personally use it, but they may give it out to, like, example, Hezbollah or some other terrorist organization. And we would indeed find a mushroom cloud exploding within the United States, you know. And not just in the United States, anywhere. Not just Israel or Europe, or it could be Asia or anywhere. I mean, that would be mind-boggling. And, you know, that just, you know, some people have to take responsibility. And if we have a president who is not, and his administration is not subjected to laws and order, then why should any of us, so to speak, succumb to any justice or any authority telling us what to do? I mean, it first starts at the top of the chart. But anyway, that's my spiel. That's my saying about that. So, and I know everyone wants to hear talking about dreams and going out of body experiences. And I also want to thank everybody again for listening now in the past shows and future shows, and I want to thank BBS Radio for having me. And God, yesterday I had a lot of turkey. I had Italian Thanksgiving. We went to an Italian restaurant. It was pretty good, but man, pasta and turkey and all that, phew, God, I felt like I was going to blow up. When it comes to dreams and out-of-body experience, people will hear, what is out-of-body? It sounds so mysterious, you know, and the reason why I'm bringing it up too, because I've had a lot of past shows and things where people ask me about. In fact, I was on a show on a friend of mine called Jerry Pippin. You guys all should check him out. Deals with UFOs and stuff, and he actually asked me that because, and not to regress back to my book, Regress. That book talks about regression, but The Heretic, it gets into actually very fundamentals of regression, which is, in a way, when you regress, you are actually going out of body. But going out of body, we all do it subconsciously. Whenever you go to sleep and you're dreaming, and you're in dream state, that is really an out-of-body experience. You are actually unconsciously doing it, though. So most people, when they think of out-of-body, they're thinking of you consciously going into dreams and consciously pulling yourself out. It'd be like controlling your dream, you know, in a sense. And that would be the out-of-body experience. And so when you dream, go into that dream state, well, what is that, that situation? You're basically going into another realm, you know, and it can be a reflection of yourself, which a lot of dreams are, because what it is when your view, your perception of things, your feelings are what you're going to see on the outside. That's almost like when somebody says when they die, they actually are going out of body. When you person dies, their spirit pulls out within out of their body, but their function, when they pull out, the cord is cut, and that's why they never go back into the body, and that's how that person functionally dies. And if you've ever watched the movie What the Bleep Do You Know, it really gives you a good perspective, even on the physics level, that there is a conscious, a soul that is connected and disconnected within our mind. It's almost like our soul, which is the part that's pulled out of from your body when you go out, whether you die or dream state or whatever, that is always connected. And you've probably heard the cord, and that's that cord that's connected. You can look at it as a physical cord. I mean, our perception of it could be connected to your physical body, but it is actually the cord that connects the soul to the mind, and then the mind is which is within the body. So what happens when you're really going out of body, you know, in your dream state? You're functioning, like I said, your soul is pulling out. It's almost lifting. It's separating itself and not becoming... It's like your other consciousness is now outside of your body, that you actually can see the physical form, and you see with your own conscious soul, in a sense. So you do that when you're sleeping, when you're dreaming. You know, you all heard about different kinds of levels of dreams, and then there are people who have made, you know, if you see horses or, you know, cows or cats, and they all have symbolic reasons, and they, you know, might have some symbolism to it. People have pointed out they relate to some subconscious way. And perhaps they do. People have reflected and walked into very enlightened situations, or, you know, almost felt like deja vu situations. So that deja vu, when they're going to dream, is they are already going into a future state, because there's no linear time like what we think. So then walk into that situation. It's called deja vu. That's that part of dream state. You're going into the future. Because you are pulling yourself out. You're out of body. And like I said, I'll get into the mechanics of going out of body fundamentally. But first, I just want you to understand what is dream consciousness. Because it doesn't matter whether you're conscious or unconscious. It's still fundamentally, basically the same. Just one, you actually functionally cause it to happen. Another one, you unconsciously happen. So when you're pulling yourself out and you're out of your body and you're whether you're sleep state or, like I said, unconsciously or consciously, you are seeing different realms, you know, And I can relate to different things, situations that happens. I mean, you, like I said, you can have a great dream. Like dream you're in a field. You might hear situations where perhaps your guides are reflecting things to you. It's not limited at all. It is unlimited. It is unlimited, like the infinity of the universe. I mean, you could be in that dream state and you can see things like you're watching a motion picture. Or you can be in a state which is almost like watching, if you've ever seen like stars flying around, or little streams of energy, or anything. It's whatever you perceive it to be. It's like, if any of you ever want to understand it even more clearer, ever watch the movie Dreamscape, which I highly recommend, because that movie actually shows you the reflection of our dreams. Which happen to be, like I said, you. So if you have, like, fears, those fears that you have, will be which is, by the way, illusion, like I've said in my past shows, will reflect, because the fear is an illusion, which you perceive, that will reflect as well in your dreams. So if you have any fears, you're obviously going to reflect those out in your dreams. And some of those fears that you may say, or lessons in the future, lessons might be thrown at you at showing you what you will be seeing in the near future or something you haven't faced as well. So sometimes you'll dream things that are actually your guides are trying to tell you or the universe trying to tell you that, hey, you know, you got to fix this or you got to deal with it. Or it's almost like a warning. You know, we've had dreams that certain things are going to happen in the future. I have a good close friend who actually has dreams of events that happen, and than they happen to people around her that happens to. And that's another way you actually, when you're in dream state, you can actually be tapping into, like I said, you're seeing future events. You might see future events of things happening around you, whether it's you yourself or your family or friends. You know, that's another, that's clear if people heard of visions. That's the same thing. So that's another state. Like I said, there's a multitude. I could write a lifetime of books of the multitude, and I also talk on a talk show, multitude, going down level by level of all the events that could possibly happen while you're dreaming, because there's so many, you know. But that would be like the unconscious, way, you know, you're in dream state. And that's where people mostly relate to, you know. But I just want you aware, like, if you have someone has, like, a great dream or a nightmare, that's all reflected to yourself in that particular moment. And you can always effectively change those, too. And that's what people don't realize. Well, even within your own dream state, you can actually, even if it's an unconscious dream and you're in there, you can actually effectively change that minute, like in a heartbeat, your dream. Because you have choice. As much as you have choice in your right now, like whatever actions you make, you have choice when you're on the other side as well. You have a choice to further go on with the dream. You can stop the dream, continue the dream. And sometimes maybe your dream, even if you want to stop it, won't, because your higher self, which is another choice, wants you to actually see it because it's a lesson. They're trying to show you something, or somebody's trying to show you, like your guides are trying to show you something. And maybe it's extremely important. So it's really important, those dreams. And what I suggest, and a lot of people have dark dreams, like, oh, they say, I don't dream at all when I sleep. No, everybody dreams. When you go, they call it a rapid eye movement. When you fall asleep and you go dream state, you are always dreaming. You're always automatic. When you go in that dream state, you are your body. You are separating yourself. It's just that when you wake up, you don't remember the dream, and that's really what they call a dark dream. And I don't mean dark as negative dark, that you just don't remember it. So you go, oh, I didn't dream at all last night. I never dream. Actually, you do dream. You just don't remember it. So what you could do to help open yourself to remember, recall your dreams, and this is a method that my teacher from the past, before she passed away, Janae Sinclair, she would say, oh, you know what, you wake up in the morning, you immediately wake up and you recall the dream or whatever, try to write it down. You know, have a little pad paper, just even if it's, you can barely read it, especially in my right handwriting. I can barely read my own handwriting sometimes. But you just jot it down. You know, and keep a book of what you've dreamt. And now I'm going to go into, I know everyone, whoa, but tell us how you go out of body. Because it sounds so mysterious. Everybody wants, oh, I want to go out of body. Well, before you do, the most important thing about going out of body, and when you do it consciously, and this is I highly advise, is starting to bubble yourself up. And what I mean to bubble yourself up, and this is just a practice you should be doing, even has nothing, not even dealing with going out of body, but you should always have your bubble, your surrounding around you to help protect you. Because there's, like I said, there's things of the dark and light on both sides, both on the physical world or the other side. So you always have to be aware that, you know, you might be doing something in the light side, but there's always a counter, somebody or something or entity want to perpetrate something negative to you. So you have to protect yourself. It's not all lovey-dovey, you know, kumbaya. You wish it was, but it isn't forever, because there's, when they say, like in the Bible, when God created the universe, he created both light and dark. So it's really important. That is so important, to bubble yourself up. And when you're bubbling yourself up, that's the first thing you start doing. And then when you're leaving your body, you make sure that you actually carry two bubbles. you consciously have one around your physical body and then yourself as well. So, now how to go out of body. Well, let me go tell you a little story about how I went out of body. And it might just sort of help you in the future of what can happen and how you can go out of body on your own. Well, first of all, let me tell you, way back when, back in the late 90s, I had somebody helping me manifest, helping me take care of my accounts receivable situation, helping so I get money back in. And I gave the person the list, and they're pulling it out, and lo and behold, and I had actually several companies, and sometimes, you know, you have one company doing one thing for another company. I actually had a reconstruction firm, so I also had a flooring company, and they'd bill each other. And he didn't realize, actually made a mistake giving him that list. I forgot to draw that line out, because it'd be like, I owe myself money, you know, that situation. And I never forget this. I was, like, lying on the floor, and all of a sudden I felt really, really, really tired, and I fell asleep, like in the middle of the floor. And this must have been like 8, 9 o'clock at night. I remember the TV was on, because I can remember was married with children, and I fell asleep back then. And then all of a sudden I started looking up, and I pick myself up, almost like people say, like in yoga, you push your arms up. And I'm looking down, and I see my body down there, and it felt really cold at first, but now I'm okay. And then I look over, and I turn, hey, Elliot, what's up? And the next thing I know, you know, I go, you know, back down, like somebody hit me, pushed my head back down. Well, that was the first time I actually sort of consciously went out, and I didn't realize it until after the fact. And then, down the line, toward where, this happened when I went through some catastrophic events where my corporations that I owned went down. I had a major thing. And anyway, not to get into the particulars of that, but it was very, very low point of situation. I don't say lows, actually a crossroads, actually, of my life. And I remember I was reading a book called, you know, Jonathan Siegel, that book, I think about the little bird, you know, the seagull and all that. Anyway, I was focusing on the issue of love, just surrounding myself with love, thinking about that. And then as I was doing that, I started slowly pulling myself up from my body. And by the way, when I was doing that state, I was feeling, I got myself first in a very, 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 very relaxed way, you know, lying on my back or front. But this situation, I was actually lying on my back. And I was almost like in a meditative state and just putting out this love vibration and getting very, very, very relaxed. And as I was doing that, I started first having like a bubble around my immediate self. And then all of a sudden when I started pulling out, I started like separating my consciousness up above my head. And I started pulling out. And actually I was coming out from the top of my, people who are the crown chakra, that's actually where you pull out. I sort of slowly started pulling up from that instance. And then the next thing you know, I was sort of sitting up. And there was my body. I was sitting half in my body and half out of my body. And then I met my first three guys that I met conscious, you know, conscious state, met my first three guides, which happened to be three of my past fathers in three past lives. And that was my first, like, I now call it really technically second. So those were the initial states of my learning of encountering going out of body. The next stage, which I started learning to practice on, and you can do it on your own, but I highly recommend, again, first bubbling up, practicing this very at first. And I also highly recommend that you watch Dreamscape, just so that when you do go out of body, you realize that you're not in a very low situation. I highly recommend that you're not in a situation where you have a lot of fears or you're under medication, I don't care if you're smoking dope or drinking, you shouldn't do any of that because it's going to be very reflective when you go out on that. Because I don't want anybody to start running into some, because there are some very highly, there's some dark situations out there that if they see you in a dark situation, they will try to take advantage of it. And when you're consciously going out, by the way, you're consciously have to protect yourself, as opposed to when you're unconsciously going out, when you're in dreams state, you are being protected naturally by your guides and whatnot, because it's being done unconsciously. But this one's out of, you're consciously doing, so you got to make, it's almost like you're, you know, there's an automatic, you got an automatic when you're sleeping and you're doing it. Now you're in manual. Now you got to learn how to shift the gears and pull the clutch. Know when to go first gear, second gear, third gear. Because when you do it consciously, you have to do that. And so, like I said, I highly recommend that you bubble up all the time and watch the movie Dreamscape. Second, when you're in that state, you get yourself in a very, very extremely relaxed situation. Some people use foods, actually, to get them that. You can, you know, everybody has their particulars. I remember at one time, to get myself into that relaxed mode, I'd eat, that sounds pretty weird, but I'd eat, like, lamb. Lamb will put me in that very, really relaxed state. Some people can just do it with turkey because it has all that tryptophan in it. But that would be, like, a physical level to get you into that relaxed state. A natural way, I guess you could call it. Don't take any sleeping pills or anything like that, like I said. But you try to get yourself into a very, very relaxed state, you know, comfortable. And then once you're in that very relaxed state, you start in the very beginning, after you've already bubbled yourself, you pull, consciously feel your consciousness like almost in front of your face. Just a little bit, and you do like a little, do a little bit, and then a little bit, and you slowly step pulling out, and feel your consciousness almost above your head, and you keep on doing that until it's further, further up, and to go through every little steps, little steps or big steps, and that's how you start practicing going out, and then you, after you pull yourself consciously, imagine you can almost visualize seeing your whole consciousness above your body. Then visualizing, seeing where you are. Because if you're visualizing, you can actually go into that state that might help you. Like it's like a knowing where to shift the gears, because now I know, oh, there it is. I see the shifter. Oh, it's over there. Then you can see and feel what's happening. You will feel and see yourself. You can turn yourself around and look at yourself. Or you can just pull where you should be at that state. You should be pulling up above and seeing like the ceiling or wherever you're looking up above you. It should be the ceiling. and you just leave yourself up above and you slowly get further and further. And you just practice getting each stage further and further out. And the next stage you go, you know, around the room that you're in. And the next stage you keep on practicing this, and it's not, when I'm talking stage, I'm talking you do it like every other day or whatever when you do it. Not, this is not all one day. You know, you don't learn how to drive that stick in your car and one day you're going to be bumping around a little. It's like getting in the parking lot in your practice. This is just practice, learning how to do it. And not everybody can do it. It's a level, you know, and I don't mean level like you have ability. It's at the time of your life that you're allowed to do it, because you may have guides for certain situations which will not allow you to do this. There are a lot of people who are able to do this, but don't know how to do it. So then you slowly pull yourself up. And then once you, like I said, you practice doing pulling yourself up, your consciousness, and feeling your consciousness above yourself, you then move your consciousness, which you feel it's you, and you see it, and you feel like, look around the room you're in, look around the thing, objects. You can actually see if you have cats or animals or dogs around. And then you can go into the next room. Maybe you go in the next room and see your boyfriend or girlfriend or kids walking around. You can actually do that. And you see them. And, you know, when you go back in, then just to see if you're really, you know, things are connecting, you go, and if your kids are, say, watching TV, and you go, hey, were you watching TV? Oh, yeah. Then you know you're connecting. And it's not imaginative. You can really connect. Now, I'm talking on the when you're going out of level, out of body on that level, no reason why I'm saying that room, that's just that first step, the first very beginning steps of going outside of your body. Because there's when you actually, to some extent, when you start going out of body, you could actually create, you're in a different situation. So you can actually help heal, see your chakras and heal yourself. You can actually go into different realms, like almost like class, and get taught, you know, different things, you know, school of what of your consciousness and learn what's out there. And it's sort of funny because when you come back, then it's like you may even not even remember what you just learned, but it's embedded in you because you're learning it from the universe. Some people, even on this the radio stations here, and including some of the people I've talked to, have to say, "Oh, I get all this information coming to me." Well, that's where how that's coming. It's coming to them. They may unconsciously be going out of their body, even in dream state, and getting all this information embedded into them. But that's when that happens. So I'm telling you consciously. You may be going to school. You can also transfer yourself. You can actually see. Almost it looks like. Like little light things, like tunnels, and almost stars, like shooting stars, and you're a shooting star, and you're moving one area of the universe to another. I mean, there's so multitude of stuff. You can go into different planets. You can go different realms, and you can go to different states. You know, it's a multitude of different things, like I said. Because there's, on the other side, is when you come to reality, you'll start finding out that the universe is so infinite and so beyond, and so is our consciousness. You are so connected. You can, like in a heartbeat, be over someplace else. And that's how you do it. That's basically going out of body. It's nothing woo mysterious. It is a practice, you know, and people go, oh, you go out of body. I go, yeah. Now, for some reason, for me, it's gotten to be a lot easier and easier and easier. And so now, when I want to go out of body, I just sort of do. In fact, if I meditate just slightly, just a little bit, you know, I just naturally go out of body. If I get a healing, like when if I went to her place, she came here the other day, and I was doing a healing, I naturally go out of body. I even tell them up front. I told her, hey, just be aware that I'm not. I pull myself out. So that they won't be so blown away, because sometimes, you know, I was afraid because, you know, afraid that if I went out, they'd go, maybe like they get all freaked out that, you know, that they see my or feel my field expand and I just moved out. Because I usually don't go far. I'm just like right there. It's just the way it is. but that's how you, I mean, that's all it is. It's nothing real. It's super, but one thing that's really, it's a great thing of learning how to heal, learning, that's basically what I utilize it, and like I said, when you're out of body, there's another rule I forgot to mention, which is another very important thing, and like I said, I told you about fears and things, when you're out of body and you see a situation that you do not understand it, or you know, it's something that you're afraid of for some weird, strange reason. And it might be purposely understood that, you know, it might be a situation that there's an entity or something on the dark side trying to attack you. Rule number one, get the hell out of there. And there's another rule I forgot to also mention, which is highly important. If you see a situation that is an entity that's, like maybe you're fearful or can attack, guess what? You go like in a heartbeat, like within a New York second, not even a second, like so fast you can pop yourself right back in your body. And that's it. Because you are, don't remember, your soul is always connected to your body. And that's why you always make sure nobody cuts your cord, because when you get your cord cut, if God forbid it is, that's where you hear people go into comas and they never come back. Or that's where you hear, like, somebody, like, goes into a coma and all of a sudden, like, almost another person wakes up in their coma, and it's not even, like, the person is so different. Is it, like, another person? That's what that happens. You know, that's basically what happened. The cord got cut. Some another spirit, is called, they call it a step-in. They actually stepped in into that body. You know, I think if you've read, I think Anne Rice wrote a book Tale of the Body Snatchers, or not Tale, no. Anyway, it's one of her books, and it was one of the part of the Vampire Chronicles, and it was with Lestat wanting to switch bodies into a human body as opposed to being a vampire. And it actually goes into almost the same situation where this guy switched bodies, and he did that, and they basically cut their cords. The guy cut his cords. That's how he did it. And that's why it's pretty, you don't ever have that ever, ever, ever happen. And if any of you are fearful for going out of body, it's understandable. And it might not be at the time, at your lifetime, to do that. Because when you do it, like I said, consciously, it's like driving a car. You got to learn to drive it. And remember, you can get in an accident. And there is no insurance. Only insurance you have when you're outside on your body is that cord. And that cord that's connecting you. And that's the insurance that you go, boom, I'm back in my body. And that way, the entities on the other side can ever do anything negative to you. And of course, you don't even have to. You can always make sure you always, when you go out of body, you ask your guides to protect you, to be with you. And they do. They're around you. They'll be your little enforcers. You know, almost like when you're out there. Hey, I got my posse, my gangsters with me, and they protect you. And that's they're there for that too. You know, they protect you when you're during this lifetime where you walk around, but they also protect you when you go out of body. So when you're out, they actually let you, hey, something's coming up, you should not go in there. Or you go, hey, you know what, I don't even want to be there. Or you can go, and when you're going out of body, just tell your guys, hey, now that I'm out, I want to go to some place, like, really nice, and da-da-da-da, lovey-dovey. And they'll take it, and you'll end up going there. Remember, you have your will. And by the way, your will, let me explain that, too. That's another thing to understand when you're out of body. You will yourself is almost like is your steering wheel. It steers you where you're going. So you can will, you basically sort of will your conscious out. You know, when I was telling you to go out of body, you're willing your conscious to go out. Then you're willing your conscious to go to different areas. Have you ever watched the movie Ghost? And the guy says, well, he can't really move the bottle. He has to think it. So what is he doing? He's willing that little bottle to move, or the cup. That's basically what a spirit would do. So think of it like that. You are now, when you're outside your body, you're just a spirit. So you have to will yourself to that area. And you can choose your will, where you want to go. You just have to will it, you know. Put a little will in there. So that is basically in a nutshell of going out of body. I know people go, man, I was waiting for something real mysterious. It really isn't mysterious. People make it more mysterious than it really is. The only thing mysterious about it is when you experience it. And every experience, by the way, when you do this, you should always thank God and the universe for before you do your out-of-body experience, and then thank the God in the universe, or whoever your entity, God you believe into, and say thank you for doing it. And since it's Thanksgiving, you can always, should be, every day should be Thanksgiving. You know, thanks for giving. And I know people, I've seen, Thanksgiving is a holiday that killed the Indians and all that. And that was a really crazy holiday. And that's a weird thing to think about. But on the positive side of Thanksgiving is really asking for grace. And when you have grace, you should give grace to everything. You know, grace for even being on a show. I know here I'm getting off tangent, but of the dreams and going out of body stuff. But that's basically in a nutshell. And if anybody has further questions about going out of body or dreams, and if you have questions about that, feel free to contact me. You know, I've had friends of mine and people I contact and I meet. Even I've had people at book signings, and they've contacted me about their dreams and things like that. And, you know, feel free. Again, you can contact me either through BBS Radio here. They have a connecting service. They forward your messages to me. Or you can call, like I said, directly. You know, you don't have to use bell tails to call me. Go straight to flyingpigs@artlover.com. That's my email address. Send me an email. Or you can always go on MySpace and send me a message there at MySpace/AndrewFetter and ask me a question there, and I'll be happy to answer your question. I'll try to do as fast as I can, but I will definitely always return messages in a timely manner. But I really want to thank everybody, because now I'm thinking about it is Thanksgiving, and it's a time of grace, and it's time to, in the beginning of the show I was being sort of sarcastic with the letter, the politics, and things, but we really have to be thankful for a lot of things. I mean, for me, I can say I'm thankful, you know, an opportunity to live in this country, which people do not validate as bad. You know, people get all harsh, oh, America is this, and they're right. Well, the reason why a lot of people come to America is we have the opportunity to speak our minds compared to a lot of other countries. We have a lot of freedoms and avenues. We have a lot of opportunities economically compared to a lot of countries. And I know things have been curtailed and changed because of that, but that was out of our choice. But we still, of all countries, ironically, we have more opportunities to change our very moment. I mean, compared to Europe or even to anywhere in the world. You know, think of why, and this is not just by chance, so many people from all around the world have come to this country, and that's why we are a nation of immigrants, and we shouldn't diss our immigrants. Of course, we should have laws, and people should follow our laws. Because we should be a nation of laws, and that includes our president. But this is our opportunity. So, I'm thankful for being here. I'm thankful for having this opportunity. I'm thankful for all the situations and obstacles that I've gone through. I'm thankful for having the kids I have. I'm thankful for, you know, the situations of meeting people in the past that maybe I felt were not the most enlightened situations, you know. They say our greatest enemy is our greatest teacher, and that's definitely true. Those people who have hurt you in the past, you should say, the first way of forgiving is say, thank you for that experience. You know, as bad as it was, mom or dad or ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, you know, you thank them. Thanking them is part of forgiveness. You think that thankful for that experience of teaching you that situation, you know. And I just thought I had to put that in because it's very important. People forget what thankful and grace is. And that application of things is part of healing. And I've said in my past shows about healing, why we're in this body at this particular time is to heal. More important than anything else. You need to heal yourself. You can heal all, help all the other people, but if you aren't healing yourself, you know what? You haven't done zero. You know, you have to heal yourself. I mean, it's good. If you heal yourself, you'll be healing other people. Because all of a sudden you'll be, it's natural, your energy, your change, the people around you, and then your actions by doing it will be, you know, further. Of course, I don't want to go back into integrity too, but place integrity behind that. That's the multiplier of your being. And I wish everybody, you can always check out my past shows. I may go into, I got another announcement before I end. Before I forget. Real, real important. On my next show, I should have told you in the beginning, it just flew by me. I forgot to tell it, because by the way, I don't write my stuff down. I'm trying to do everything off the head, because I'm trying to always teach it from my heart. In my next show on December 7th, everybody, tell your friends, whatever, I am having a special guest. He is an alien abductee, and I'm telling for real. He was abducted by aliens. No bullshit BS here. And he's going to be on my show on the 7th. His name is Ricky, and that's all he'll give him. When I was doing a preliminary interview of him, he started telling me a story, and I go, whoa, man, I read about him. I said, don't tell me anymore. I'd rather hear it on the show. So I will be at first hand hearing his detailed experiences of what happened, and so will you. And again, that's next 2 weeks from today, on December 7th, you know, 11 a.m., same time, same bat channel. Well, you have to listen to this. I mean, it's truly going to be a fascinating show. And I'm coming to a head. I'm sorry, it's coming so fast. God, this half hour, because I know I did my little rant earlier about some politics, but I just had to get that out because I felt it was very important. And by the way, it just reminded me something real quick I want to say before I close out with my song here. That I remember I had somebody on MySpace. I sent them a joke about, you know, Bush getting, like, basically, you know, taken care of orally by a turkey. And the turkey was thanking him for pardoning him. And I made a joke about, you know, hey, what do you expect? It's Republicans, and at least it's not a page. Okay, it's a turkey, so they're now Republicans and are into bestiality. And she wrote me back saying, you disrespected our president. I don't want you putting any more comments like that on my MySpace. And then I said to her, like, wait a second, but this president, this Bush, Mr. Bush, disrespected the American people, disrespected our soldiers, both men and women who have fought and died for and got wounded for his war. He disrespected the people. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but I will not be able to play my song, and my producer just told me I ran out of time. I will definitely put that on air in the beginning of my next show. I apologize. And anyway, I want to thank everybody. God, this time went by. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, and I wish you all God bless, and take care, and thank you.
Coming next, life's a quest, leaving many questions left. Like, why am I destined for death? How many messages are left to expect? And can I accept the fact that I'm not the best? Life's a mess, it's hard to take the time to clean it. But if I don't, the same shit is repeated. It'll keep eating me and leave me bleeding. Instead, I'll see life to keep me dreaming.
Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. Ain't always what it makes me. Just keep fighting till the end, it'll all come together, my friend.
My friend.
Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end, it'll all come together, my friend.
Life's an illusion, taking in strides all the while. The wise have proven that life is useless if the mind's polluted. So why abuse it when time's in movement? Life is current, currently determined by our past occurrence. If I could turn it, I'd try to make it perfect. But I'm not God, I just work as a servant. Thank you, life is grand. And and I'm not talking about the dollar bills that you hold in your hand. It's the plan that unfolds when you know that you can. Kinda like Nas had wrote and had spoke to his fans. Life's a choice. It's a chance to prove that you have a voice and add some noise to life's natural rhythm. Exploit your mind and expand your vision.
Life is a beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend.